You're too damn white, guys.
Welcome back to another Too Damn White Guys. I'm Julian Smith, and I'm here with Andrew Rader, the fax machine.
Hey, that's my new catchphrase.
Hey. Oh, hey's your new catchphrase.
It's
I like
pretty
that.
Pretty simple. Three letters, parsimonious.
I realized I just said I'm here with you, but we're actually not technically here. We're here together through
the
internet.
In a virtual sense, we're here.
Yeah, we're here in the same way that we're all here together. Yeah. Today we're here talking about personalities. We're going to be looking at some different personality types, some different tests that you can take to see what kind of personality you have. There's all these different tests, like there's Myers-Briggs and there's Enneagram. That one says there's like 9 different personality types. How many are in Myers-Briggs, Andrew? Do you know?
16.
Okay, so there's 16 in Myers-Briggs and and 9 in Enneagram. That means we're getting dumber. Because the newer the tests that
simpler.
Come out,
that's actually true. We're going to talk about this in a bit, but the tests that have more differentiation are probably more accurate.
Yeah, that would make sense. Mm. That would make sense. And then we're also going to take a look at a third test, which I had never heard of until yesterday, and Andrew turned me on to it, called the MMBI, I think it's called.
MMPI, yeah.
MMPI, okay.
Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory, and the fact that it's got multiphasic in it is really cool, because that sounds like a Star Trek word.
It does. What does multiphasic even mean?
Many phases?
Many phases. It means it's really complicated.
Phase. Yeah, I guess that refers to the different categories, many categories.
Okay. So we're going to take a look at all three of these. Andrew and I have been kind of, we actually got onto the subject of personalities because of a viewer comment that we got on one of our last episodes. Actually, it was the very last episode.
Yeah.
This guy sent us on a tirade of personality research this week. And we've been doing all these different tests. And Andrew and I actually figured out that we're scoring the same on
very
like
close.
multiple different tests.
Close. We're kind of the
close.
Same person. Except Julian talks more. That's the main difference, actually.
That's the main difference. Yep. I'm sorry. I can't help myself. That just led us to want to talk about personalities. So here we are. We're talking about personalities, but we're not going to get there yet. I will say in conclusion about personalities for now that the one thing I think is fascinating about all these different tests is they seem to highlight different aspects of your personality. They all kind of have different ways of ranking things and predicting how you will behave. But what seems to be interesting is how when you look at all three of them together, it seems to give you a pretty good picture of who you are. So we're going to look at later on all three of these different tests, and we're going to tell you our test results so you can see them. And we'll include a link in the video description to the tests if you want to take them yourself and get a so you can just get intimate with yourself. That's what this is all about. So we'll get to that in a minute. We're going to put a pin here, though, to take a dive into our brand new segment, Andrew Tells Julian the News.
Yep. So main news, government shutdown continues. You apparently learned this last week, even then been going on for more than 2 weeks.
I got to say, yeah. I actually had to research this one. This is the one time I went researching news for myself this week because I heard it's like the longest government shutdown in history now.
It is now, yeah, 22 days.
Mm-hmm. That is insane. It's kind of scary.
Yeah, a lot of people going without paychecks. So
yeah, it's
the
so
heat's
sad.
Starting to ramp up, and hopefully they'll be able to make some kind of deal.
I heard that Trump, to say it was Trump directly probably isn't totally fair, but I heard that the government issued a letter recommending that federal employees write their landlords and request bartering their services, like for painting and maintenance on the building in exchange for rent.
That's hilarious.
Can you believe that?
Or just go on TaskRabbit. I mean, that's the government advice these days. Funny.
These are our tax dollars at work, people, or our lack of
well,
tax
the problem
dollars
is
at work.
It doesn't even save us money. It actually costs a lot more to have the government shut down because of the inefficiencies and stuff. So people aren't getting paid, so you would think the government would save money, but that's not even true. Mm-hmm. It actually wastes everyone's money. So that's kind of like the idea it's really just to hold people hostage, to force them to make some kind of deal.
It's kind of crazy. And the craziest thing to me is that it's all over this wall. And no matter how you feel about the wall, personally, viewers watching, I'm not talking to you, Andrew. I'm pretty sure I know how you feel about the wall. But no matter how you feel about it, like the numbers for the wall, like the budgets keep changing. Like I saw this supercut of Trump changing the prices.
Expensive. than they think. Yeah. I mean, that's obvious. But he's just asking for a little bit to get started. And then I guess he thinks it will continue and snowball and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Well, I heard that originally he was proposing Mexico pay for it and that it was going to cost $4 billion. And then it went to $5 billion. Then it went to $8 billion. Then it went to $12 billion. Like, and then $18. And now it's almost $26 or something. So it's gotten out of control, it seems like.
Yep.
Anyways, okay, so what else is happening?
Okay, well, something I forgot was we flew past the most distant object that we've ever explored without a telescope. So New Horizons, the probe that went past Pluto in 2015, flew past Ultima Thule.
I'm a little lost. You're talking about space, I guess.
Yes, space, out in space, okay. Which is most of what exists. Earth is this tiny little bit. So almost everything's in space, really.
Right.
So we flew past this asteroid, I guess you could call it, really. Yeah, but it's binary. It's like a snowman. Looks like a snowman. And it's an asteroid out past Pluto. It's the furthest thing we've ever flown past.
What does that mean? From last time. Earth passed by this thing?
What's that?
Earth passed by this thing?
No. We have a probe called New Horizons that flew past it, took pictures.
See, this is how out of the loop I am. I didn't even know of New Horizons.
Yeah, and it flew past Pluto. You've heard of Pluto?
Yeah.
Other than the Disney
Don't
character.
Don't you patronize me.
Yeah, so we took pictures of Pluto in 2015, and the same probe is now flying further out, and it passed this other asteroid. It's the furthest thing we've ever seen, and it's pretty big. It's, I don't know, like 20 kilometers or something like that. Big,
so
big
what
rock.
Does that mean? What's
mostly
the big
ice,
discovery?
Actually. Well, just what its size it is. So there's lots of, most of the solar system, almost all of it's in the sun. But if you ignore the sun, most of the solar system is really far out. It's all these asteroids that are far out. So we just, for the first time ever, got up close to one of these asteroids out in the Kuiper Belt, it's called. Yep.
Wow.
Also, China landed a rover on the far side of the moon. First time any country's done this.
Oh, wow. Wait, they're the first to do it?
Yep.
So why is it so hard to land on the far side of the moon?
Hard to communicate. So you have to have communication relays because no radio signals can get past the giant rock that is the moon. And that's actually one of the reasons it could be useful to build a radio telescope, because it's well sheltered from all our cell phones and other radio signals.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yep.
Go China.
Also, a Chinese surgeon fell asleep while reattaching an arm surgery. People thought it was great because he was really dedicated to his job.
Oh my gosh, that is terrifying.
I guess the Japanese actually have a word for this, inamuri, which means sleeping on the job. And it's considered a source of pride. It's like a national source of pride that workers work so hard in Japan that they fall asleep at work.
I was gonna make a commentary.
And put your head down, sleep at night, and wake up at 5 a.m. and start again.
I was gonna say something along those lines, but I didn't know if it would be insensitive. But then you said Japan has an actual word, which is crazy.
In Japan.
That's insane.
And also in the news, over 100,000 planes landed safely.
Hey, that's no great incident. News.
Yeah.
You never hear about the planes that land.
Skidded off the runway in Detroit, no injuries at all. So I saw this in the news and I'm like, how is that news that a plane skidded off the runway and no one was injured, considering that about 90 people are killed every day due to traffic accidents?
If there was more news like that, I might read the news.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, this goes back to our first podcast episode where we're talking about, like, the perspective of things. So people get worked up about the wrong things. Basically, people are afraid of the wrong things.
I think you're right. Let's dive into personalities if you want. You want to do that?
Personalities.
Now? So we got this viewer comment and they were asking what our personality types were. And I actually didn't know Andrew's personality type before this, but he said he was INTJ, right? That's what you are?
Yeah, just like Palpatine.
And whenever I've taken Myers-Briggs, I tend to swing between ENTJ and ENTP. Mm. I don't know why that is, but I always swing between those. So we were kind of laughing about how together we're one full NTP. And then that led us to take the Enneagram tests, which is, we'll just kind of quickly recap all these personality tests and then we'll dive into them with more detail. The Enneagram, for those who aren't familiar, is a fairly new thing, I'm pretty sure, but it's supposed to be more insightful than the Myers-Briggs. It tells you not only like what your personality type is, but also how your personality type should function under healthy levels of stress versus unhealthy levels of stress. And so you can kind of gauge by looking at this test, I must be really stressed because lately I've been like really irritable or something, which is actually kind of one of the things I thought was funny about Enneagram, because if you look at the unhealthy levels of stress column under all these categories, a lot of them kind of sound the same. There are some differences, but a lot of them are like irritable or something. And it says like you'll be irritable. And I'm like, well, that's just kind of vague. Like if they can't,
that's like a horoscope.
Yeah, that's true. It's kind of like a horoscope. Maybe that's why people like it. They want to be able to predict. But then we took this MMBI test, and it was way more in-depth, but also like not, it was different. It's a Russian test, right? The MMBI?
No, it's Minnesota. The website that we took it on was a Russian website. So I'm pretty sure they stole tons of our data and are trying to convince us to vote for Trump.
Well, I used a VPN, so ha!
There you go.
But I thought it said on the site that it was developed originally.
Actually, I think the person who invented it may have been Russian, like of Russian descent, but they were definitely in Minnesota.
Huh. Okay. Well, the test seemed very Russian. All the questions were like, it's very strange to get my head around. Also, one of the questions was in Russian.
I think the place we took it was not like the official place, and we took it on some Russian website.
Right. The official test is like 100 questions long or something.
Oh, yeah. No, it's like, I think it's almost 200. Yeah, we took a short version of the test. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So it's all really credible. It was still really insightful because the stuff that the MMBI showed me that I was really interested about is it tells you a lot about it told me I was on the verge of overly optimistic, which I thought was really
kind of high on that too. Yeah.
You what?
I was high on that too.
Yeah. Which I was like, okay, well, it was kind of a reality check. Okay. So let's dive into Myers-Briggs a little bit now that we've kind of covered all three of those tests that we're going to be talking about. What in the Myers-Briggs, it's all the personality types are comprised of four letters, and the letters are each associated with a different personality trait, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So do you know what all the, it's like ENTJ is?
Yeah. Extrovert, introvert, sensing, perceiving, I think it is.
Yeah.
That's the one I don't really understand, that S versus N. I don't really know what those ones mean. It's not obvious from the words. F versus T, thinking, feeling.
That's
right. I guess, and J, judging versus perceiving.
Okay.
I guess like judging is when you kind of like make judgments and put yourself out there, and perceiving is where you like sit back and kind of think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's kind of how I interpret it.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing is I'm not sure people necessarily, they know what they are and they kind of have a vague sense of it, what that means, but I'm not sure they know like what it really is supposed to mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But interestingly, so you said you're basically ENTJ and I'm INTJ, which together we're both NTJs, but those are like amongst the rarest ones.
Yeah. I've heard
so
this.
We're in, ENTJ is 1.8% of the population, and INTJ is 2.1.
Oh, really?
So we're like in 4%, less than 4% of the population. And again, ENTJ versus INTJ is just like, you basically talk more.
Yeah. Sorry, I can't help myself. I have so many thoughts.
But ISFJ is the most common by far. It's like six or seven, it's about seven times more common. And ESFJ are also super common. So just converting this to Star Wars, I am Emperor Palpatine. It's called the Mastermind. ENTJ, where is that? Oh, you're Princess Leia.
I'm Princess Leia?
Apparently.
Well, okay. So I'm looking at the personality portraits here of ENTJ and ENTP, since I kind of get both depending on when I take it. ENTJ is the nickname they give it is the executive, which I don't really understand. I've never felt like an executive. ENTP is called the visionary. What do they call INTJ?
The mastermind.
The mastermind. The fax machine. I would have laughed if it was called the fax machine.
They all have good ones, though. You know, like,
that's
true.
Yeah.
Everyone gets something good.
Yeah, they're not going to have
champion,
one called
the inventor,
the dick.
Giver. Exactly.
The total dick.
The total dick. Yeah. I mean, if anything, being linked with Emperor Palpatine, that's kind of the most dickish one. That, yeah. Or maybe Darth Vader. There's one for Darth Vader.
Yeah. So you can, yeah. You can, with Myers-Briggs, you can kind of type in like personality portrait of, like I did personality portrait ENTJ and ENTP. And there's like pages of stuff you can read about yourself. And these are pretty spot on. When I read these two personality portraits, I feel like it's a pretty good caricaturization of myself, but obviously it's not ever spot on. So that led Andrew and I to look at Enneagram, which is spelled E-N-N-E-A.
Well, I think we should actually do the Earth to Damn White Guys here because we're talking about Myers-Briggs. I think it would just make more sense.
Oh, okay. Well, let's have a spontaneously combusted Earth to Damn White Guys.
Earth to Damn White Guys. Earth to Damn White Guys.
So just because we're on the subject, I posted which is the best personality type. Obviously, this is kind of a joke because none are really the best. They're just different. And actually, I got a lot of comments about that saying none are the best.
Although that's part of the joke.
Also, I can only include 4 in a Twitter poll. So I said ISTP, and I kind of picked these two interesting Star Wars characters a little bit too. And this one's more common, the Chewbacca, ISTP, ENTJ. Is the Leia, INTJ is mine. That's Palpatine. I want to include both of ours. That's yours. Sorry. Yeah, the ENTJ, INTJ is Palpatine. Me, ESFJ, which is super common, one of the most common ones, is Jar Jar. And as I expected, people didn't choose the Jar Jar one, probably because it was associated with Jar Jar rather than the actual personality type. So I think
you shot yourself in the foot there.
Yep. It is intentional, but yeah. So results are. Chewbacca won by pretty big margin. Chewbacca ISTP got 34%. ENTJ, which is yours, is 26. INTJ Palpatine is 27, so I won by 1% over you. And ESFJ is 13.
So either... So which one of those was the most rare? I'm not looking at the results.
The most rare is actually ENTJ, yours, Leia, those ones.
On the poll, though.
Okay, lowest on the poll is ESFJ, which is actually the most common.
Yeah, so people aren't being honest.
Well, I mean, maybe they're not picking theirs. Maybe there's a number of ways you could explain that. I think partly it's to do with the Jar Jar thing, because someone even said, I would have picked ESFJ, but it was associated with Jar Jar, so I just couldn't.
I actually saw that comment. I went on there and looked last night after I...
And I kind of expected that.
Yeah.
So there's a number of ways. One is, maybe people who are of those types don't necessarily even think they're the best. Maybe they didn't select it. Maybe my followers tend not to be those types.
Maybe you're just followed by a bunch of people like yourself or something.
Yeah, it's quite possible, right? So who knows? Vivian Hall said, also, I get cranky about these personality assessments. I took a grad HR course that emphasized such tests when hiring. Every time I get one... I get a different result. Pop science bullshit, which is kind of true about Myers-Briggs, I think, actually. People, like, put a lot of credibility into it, read a lot of credibility into it, but it's not really.
Yeah, and, I feel the same way, but yeah. I think there's got to be something to glean from taking all three of these tests because, first of all, not of all the people that take them, I'd like to see a percentage of people who actually take any of these personality tests. So if you're even taking the test, I'm sure it's telling you something about yourself. And then if you're taking all three of them, they're all gauging different things and they're asking different questions. And there is research behind the test. So you have to be learning something about yourself by taking these, especially all three.
Yeah. Is there research behind the test? That's kind of a vague statement. Like what research has actually been done to correlate the test to see if it gives you correct results or if just like people have fun doing it. And so they're like, hey, this is a cool test. And they here's the thing. Like people might think it explains them, but this is like what we talked about last time, biases, right? It could just be reading into your biases. I think I'm an INTJ because I think about the INTJ attributes and I think, that's me. Those are pretty awesome. Like, I want to be a quiet thinker type, right?
Yeah, who doesn't want to be that?
Yeah, I think even the way you answer the questions, they're too direct, right? This is one of the things about Myers-Briggs. And it's unclear if people are answering it honestly or aspirationally, meaning, like, they're going for what... I think I do this, actually, not super intentionally, but am I answering what I want to be or am I answering what I am?
Well, this is what I like about the MMPI test, yeah, because the questions are so frank and obscure that there's you're looking at them going like, oh my, I was kind of like shaking in my boots a little bit when I was taking the test. I was like, oh my gosh, like it was messing with my head, you know?
Yeah.
So I kind of like the idea of taking all three of these together. And I feel like I actually have learned something about myself. I don't think it, you know, I know what you're saying, that some of these personality types just play up all the positive traits and none of the bad. I would say Enneagram gives you more information about like the negative aspects of your personality, mm-hmm, whereas Myers-Briggs doesn't. Mm-hmm. And then I'd say the MMPI test just only plays up the bad. It doesn't really tell you anything good about yourself. So I kind of like the idea of taking all three of these tests together.
Yeah, and actually there's a strong correlation between Enneagram results and Myers-Briggs. So you can look at the cross effect. So if you're, we should talk about Enneagram first, but basically if you're like one type of Myers-Briggs and also a type of Enneagram, it kind of tells more combined than separately.
Right. Yeah, I think that's true. I think that's right. So you want to dive into Enneagram real quick?
Yeah. Do you want to take that one, explain it a bit?
Yeah, sure. So Enneagram, I find out through one of my friends, Tyler Tortai, if you're listening. And I took this a year ago and never really gave it much credibility, never really like looked into the results that much. I took the test and was just kind of skimmed through the results and then just ignored it. But this week I was reading a little more intensively about my personality type, which I scored a type 3 wing 4, they call it. And the way it works in Enneagram is it's a spectrum, and there's 9 different possible personalities. But usually people have one primary personality associated with a loose association with another personality type. So that's the wing. Mm-hmm. So I got a type 3 wing 4. And that one is called the Achiever, I think. It's mm-hmm. just like basically a workaholic probably. Yeah. And what I like about Enneagram is that it doesn't just say, oh, you're this kind of person and you know, with Myers-Briggs, it tells you all the celebrities that have your same personality type. So it's just, you know, like it's kind of sensationalized, it seems. But what I like about Enneagram is it says when you're stressed, you're going to portray these, you're going to act in these ways. And my wife, when she read these, she was like, this is totally you. Mm. And I can see some of it. I don't think you really get a good picture. I don't think you're really the best judge of yourself, which is why people take these tests to begin with. But, you know, it was definitely really interesting. And I identified with a lot of the Enneagram stuff. And you scored the same on Enneagram, right, Andrew?
Exactly identical. Yeah.
So this is interesting. This is where I have to say these tests seem like they have to have some credibility, because how could it be possible that you and I scored the exact same combination of characteristics across two different tests? And I haven't seen
the only
MMPI.
Difference between us is the introvert versus extrovert, and I score mm-hmm. higher on introvert and you score higher on extrovert. Well, so to answer the question, it could be aspirational. So maybe it's not what we are, but what we would like to be, or what we kind of think we are. But this is one of the reasons why Myers-Briggs and this Enneagram one, I don't really know about the Enneagram one, but could not be the most accurate, because they're asking questions that can be answered in a way that's what I would like to be, you know? So it's not maybe an accurate representation, but more a representation of what we're aiming for rather than what we are.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, either way, it means we're aiming for the same stuff, I guess.
Well, I'm looking at these questions here for Enneagram, and I don't know how you could really skew I'm not going to go through all the questions, but some of these are just like, are you private or open? I think I'm a fairly open person. I'm also pretty private, you know, but like I wouldn't really skew an answer on that. Like I think a lot of these questions are pretty fairly portrayed, but they're, you know, I mean, I'm sure they're not 100% accurate.
We should explain, by the way, what a 3W4 is. So there's 9 different categories, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, one sec. Okay, yeah. So there's 9 different categories, 1 through 9. Reformer, mentor, achiever, designer, investigator, troubleshooter, enthusiast, or challenger, and peacemaker. So those are the 9.
Right.
Julian and I both scored 3, which is achiever, relentless work schedules, and taking credit. So meaning we work hard, but also kind of like want credit for things, I guess, is what you would say. But the wing four means we're also a bit of a designer, which is moodiness and erratic work habits. So we're like unstable hard workers or something like that.
See, this is where I think it's honest, because the Enneagram thing tells you like where you kind of, you know, where the balance is, where the perfect balance of your, you know, energy lies and how you look when you're unbalanced. And when I look at, for the most part, I mean, I definitely don't agree with all the Enneagram stuff, but for the most part, when I look at those types, I identify with all of it, for the most part. So
yeah. Also, for your personality type under Myers-Briggs, the three is very common. It's tied for most common. So it's very common to have an ENTJ, which is achiever, which is three. That's super common. But it's not that common. My correlation is not as common to have an INTJ achiever.
So it's more rare to be an introvert than an extrovert with the ENTJ.
Yeah, because in a way, they're kind of opposite. So like...
Yeah,
ENTJ, like you, is you like put yourself out there and acknowledge, hey, I want to be an achiever. I'm just going to like go crazy trying to achieve things and stuff like that. And you like work to make it happen. Whereas for me, it almost reinforces the Palpatine type thing. I like to like work behind the scenes and be a little more quiet and try to achieve things, but not like go out there too much in a way, like try to like pull the puppet strings or something like that.
Yeah, you like to be behind the camera.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Which is why you have a podcast now.
Yeah. And then we put the camera here and there, suppose the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is actually, it's funny because I don't consider myself a full on extrovert, which is one of the problems I have with Myers-Briggs, because I'm fairly introverted, at least for an extrovert. I love being alone there. I do my best thinking when I'm in solitude. I love just, you know, one of my favorite parts about what I do for work is that I just sit alone in a room all day and just think. And I love that. I definitely thrive on that. So I don't consider myself a full on extrovert, but the older I get, the more and more I identify with being an introvert. I don't think I'll ever be a full on introvert.
It's kind of the opposite for me. I've grown more extroverted over the years and I'm like only 60-40 at this point. I used to be much more introverted. So we're growing. When we're like 75, we're going to be the same person exactly.
Or we'll
just going to be old men yelling at the television.
Maybe we're on diverging paths, actually.
Because we're judgmental, not afraid to express our opinions. So we're just going to be in the nursing home in nice lazy boys yelling at the
television. God help our wives. God help our wives.
But what would you like introverts to know about your personality that is a misconception or something like that?
I think I would say... as an extrovert, I'm constantly aware of how much I talk. I feel like I've gotten a better wrangle on it as I've gotten older. I mean, I definitely don't talk as much as I used to. This is a podcast, so we're here. We're supposed to talk for an extended period of time, both of us, obviously. But just in conversation, I think I've mellowed out a little more. But I still feel like I talk more than I think. There's a clear distinction between my introverted friends and, you know, the way I talk. So I think I would want introverts to know, you know, the way I talk is just, I talk at the speed of my brain. Like I have to, when I'm talking, I'm thinking out loud and I feel like, you know, I'm not trying to dominate a conversation or anything. I'm actually trying to like, I feel like sometimes it's like a good analogy would be, I'm trying to throw darts at a dartboard and like, you know, I'm trying to like, you know, participate in the conversation. And so I just talk.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not that I'm trying to be rude.
Generally, the flip side of the coin, they want extroverts to know that even if they're quiet, they're not being super engaging in a conversation or something like that. They're not trying to be rude. That's just kind of how they roll, right? They're not going around and greeting people and being social, but it's just how they would want to be treated. They're treating people how they would want to be treated, I guess. And it's okay if people don't kind of interact all the time. They're just kind of recharging their batteries. So I think that's the main thing that introverts would want extroverts to know. And I kind of always worry that sometimes I can come off cold or untalkative. I don't really engage in small talk, as we've discussed. And I hope people don't think that's like intentionally being rude. I'm just kind of giving people their space. And I understand that people may not want to talk all the time. So they're just kind of like having their own quiet time, and that's fine. And we don't have to talk all the time.
Okay. So hypothetical scenario, you're in a car with one person. This other person is an extrovert. You're obviously an introvert. Do you want the extrovert to carry the bulk of the conversation and just keep the conversation going, or do you just want to sit in silence?
It depends on the topic. And this is kind of like if you sit next to someone on an airplane, would you engage them in conversation? And the answer is sometimes I would, but it's rare. And it depends on the circumstance. And it depends on whether they think that would be, like, if I judge, they would kind of think that's appropriate. And it kind of also depends on the reaction. So maybe say hello. And if they respond very, you know, openly, then maybe you talk some more. I've actually chatted with people the whole flight sometimes, but most of the time I don't even say a word. So it kind of depends. It's situationally dependent, but generally I think I err on the side of being quiet. Whereas my dad was the complete opposite. He was the guy who would talk to every cashier, like at the grocery store, and just like talk about whatever, or talk about, to the wait staff, waiters, waitresses, and stuff like that. Always, every person he met on the street, he would just engage them in conversation, basically. And this really annoyed me, which is probably why I don't do it, because I'm really conscious that it can sometimes come off as like super weird. And the thing is, I think it was weirder to me than it was to them, just because like I see it all the time, and it was embarrassing. Is one of the
and it's your
things
dad.
Your parents do that.
He's supposed to embarrass
their
you.
Kids. Yeah, exactly. So probably it was actually fine. And I think I err on the side of caution and err on the side of being quiet, but that's not actually how most people would like to be treated. I think if you strike up a conversation with people, 90% of the time it's going to be well received and the people are going to appreciate that you did that.
Even if they're faking it. Okay, so let's very, very quickly look at the MMPI. Now, this one, I'm going to post the pictures of our results on the screen so everyone can see. We're going to get naked on screen.
I didn't see yours, actually.
Did you what?
I did not see yours.
I haven't seen yours yet either. I'm just opening it up. Okay, so this test, just a quick, some quick contextualization. This test is not really much of a personality test in the way that Myers-Briggs and Enneagram are. It's more of a, I don't know what you'd call this. I think the most concrete way I could say it is it's like a snapshot of your neurotransmitters or something, or the thoughts that you have, or...
Uh-oh.
What?
You'll see.
Oh, no, now I'm scared.
Well, that's what it is. So it asks you a barrage of questions, and then it's supposed to be somewhat predictive and correlative. So this apparently is one of the best correlated tests. So it actually equates to how people act. And one of the problems with Myers-Briggs is it conflates multiple things. So there's not necessarily something really scientifically such as extroversion or introversion, but it's kind of a combined multiple factors. And this test apparently breaks them out better. And the questions are less obvious. So it's less, you're less able to kind of go
results.
For something aspirationally. Like Myers-Briggs, you can kind of tell what they're going for and trying to say, I want to be INTJ, so I'm going to answer this way, right? And this, I guess, is less susceptible to that.
Okay, so do you want to start with mine or do you want me to start with yours?
Sure. I can start with yours. Okay, so Julian, this lying thing, I don't know if this is just a calibration or if this is really like something.
See, this is the thing that made me think this test is extremely Russian, because like for lying to be an acceptable trait, like I scored two or three on the lying chart. I can't even remember what my score was, but I scored two or three and they were like, this is an acceptable amount of lying.
You only lie half the time. So
I was like,
totally
what?
Acceptable.
So there's certain things like that.
Less
that I
than
think
the
are
president.
Yeah. If you lie three times as much, you could still be the president of America.
That's amazing. But when you say lying, it's kind of like white lies. This was a lot of it. Like, would you lie to preserve someone's feelings under what conditions if you think there's no harm in it and stuff like
exactly.
that?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you scored zero on lying, it looks like.
Interesting.
Which is pretty admirable. This is something I wish I could have gotten this zero lying score, because I think that I actually thought of you. I was like, I wonder what Andrew got on lying. I was like, I betted that you had a lower lying score than me because you just are brutally honest. And
I've been accused of being brutally honest. Like,
I'm not brutally honest.
I don't care if I insult you if it's true.
I will tell you look good in those pants.
I won't.
I'll find some English.
I might under certain circumstances, but I doubt I would unless I really thought it was true.
I will find some English. I'll work English acrobatics to tell you you don't look great in the pants at the very least. Okay, all right, so you want to keep going?
Over control, very low. So you're not a controlling person. Pessimism, very low, which is weird that they have a pessimism as an optimism. Emotional lability, I guess that's how much you can change. Low, not sure what that means. Impulsiveness, medium high, so relatively impulsive. Femininity, low. I don't know what this man means for a man versus a woman, but I guess they judge them in femininity for both.
Yet again, very Russian.
Yeah, it's not a Russian test. Well, maybe the inventor was Russian. I don't know. Rigidity low. So you're very like flexible, I guess. Anxiety low. Individuality medium. Optimism pretty high. And pretty introversion high. Not measured. Okay, so yeah. So I mean, I guess from this, your most noticeable traits are impulsiveness and optimism, which seems like a pretty good mix.
Yeah, impulsiveness I'm not really happy with. And also optimism is I would like to be less optimistic. If I'm that high, if this test is telling the truth, I think I'd like to aspire to be less optimistic. So I'll have to work on that. Okay, so let's look at Andrew's here. We've got lying, zero. You're completely honest. You're the fax machine. Reliability. I don't understand what this reliability one is. Do you? What's reliability?
Not really. I think it's like how much you would go out of your way to meet objectives or something. I'm not actually really sure.
Okay, what's the correction?
No, that wasn't
one?
Measured though. So these are you ones that were excluded from the test.
Okay.
We just did the simple version of the test. So if it doesn't have a score at all, it was not measured.
Well, that's not true. It just means you didn't score.
No, it wasn't part of the test. We took a simplified version of the test that did not include certain of these metrics.
Well, didn't I get some of these that you didn't get?
You didn't get anything. Yours didn't even show up.
Well, you got zero on reliable or on lying.
Okay, but, so that might not be completely true, but reliability did not show. Okay, maybe it was. Okay, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, either it wasn't measured or we are the most unreliable people ever.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that means. Okay, for correction, I'm not sure what correction is. I guess correction is probably like in a debate. If you like,
yeah, maybe do you refrain from the urge to correct people?
you're fairly high in correction, but you're not to a problematic extent. It looks like you have healthy levels of correction.
Yeah, I restrain myself from correcting people most of the time.
I would even argue that you have the ideal amount of correction because it's as high as you can possibly go without getting into danger territory. So that means that you're smart, I would say. Over control, you have zero. So you're pretty chill. Pessimism, zero. Pretty chill. That's good. Impulsiveness. I think we scored about the same on impulsiveness.
Yeah, identical. We're both equally as impulsive. But I'm behind the scenes impulsive and you're out there impulsive.
That's I think I'd rather be behind the scenes impulsive. Okay, so femininity, you scored one. I think I scored two or three. What did I score?
One, same.
Okay. Rigidity, you scored two. Anxiety, you scored one. That's good. Individuality, you scored 4 out of 5. That's one of your, I think that's your highest one so far.
It's in the red zone, actually.
It is in the red zone. Yeah. This says unusual schizophrenic features, which I don't know if it's,
my individuality is off the charts. Well, relatively. And
you should have been an American.
Over control is zero. So basically like I'm a complete libertarian. like everyone should just like look after themselves and who cares about society.
Yeah. Maybe.
And combined with the Emperor Palpatine. Yeah.
It's very telling. It's good. I think it's
dictator
good.
Dictator tendencies. But quiet okay, dictator.
So optimism, you scored 3. Actually, what did I score?
Optimism, you scored identical.
Okay. Wow, we really are the same person.
Yeah.
And introversion, you're slightly more introverted than me.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
That, slightly more individualistic and slightly more introverted, but other than that, we're very similar.
So this MMPI backs up the Myers-Briggs score for you and the Enneagram score for you. So
yeah,
I think it's a pretty, when you look at all three of them, I think it's very telling.
They correlate
about oneself.
But I mean, again, it's hard to say whether that's true. It probably is true, but it could possibly also be like what we think we are or want to be and not really what we actually are. That's, but I mean, it probably, yeah, it definitely tells you stuff.
I think it tells you stuff, but it's very easy to skew the results if you want to.
Well, of course. But obviously, you have to take the test honestly and answer what you really think. But it's hard to tell, like, because we talked about biases last week, it's hard to tell, like, are you influenced by biases in answering these questions? And I also think all these are subject to interpretation of the question. So, like, I definitely overthink questions and try to find cases in which it must be or can be true. So then I, you know, depending if it's like true or false, if it can be false, I would generally pick false, right?
Right, right.
I get, well, although you can think of it the other way, if it can be true, then so it's hard to, yeah, it's hard to judge, but yeah. This is considered a pretty good test, I think, though.
Yeah, I'm really happy you showed me this one. I'd never heard of it. Cool. Well, this was pretty telling. We're going to include links for all of you guys to go take these tests if you want. The Myers-Briggs test, the Enneagram test, and this MMPI test. You can look in the description for links if you're watching on YouTube. Otherwise, if you're watching on the podcast, there's no links. You got to go to YouTube. So thanks so much for listening. This has been Two Damn White Guys on Personalities. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can do that. I'm at Julian Was Here on Twitter. Andrew is at Mars Raider. And if you really want to help us out, you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. That is so helpful. We love you for it. And we release these every Monday. We're looking forward to it already. We are, what are we doing this week? We're going to be, we got to research some new episode ideas. This one just fell in our lap. We got more,
leave
we
your
got
comments
work to do.
On the podcast or YouTube, and maybe we'll do that.
Yeah, that's true. If you have any ideas for episodes, leave us a comment. Tell us what you think we should cover next week. The top liked comment on YouTube wins. Maybe. That's kind of scary.
Then we're going to end up with Bodie McBoatface.
Yeah, with our luck.